But to my practical mind, it remained to be seen whether the passion which obsessed him would be justified by its works. When I asked him what his brother students at the night classes he had attended in London thought of his painting, he answered with a grin, "They thought it a joke." "Have you begun to go to a studio here?"
"Yes. The blighter came round this morning. The master, you know. When he saw my drawing, he just raised his eyebrows and walked on."
Strickland chuckled. He did not seem discouraged. He was independent of the opinion of his fellows.
"And it was just that which had most disconcerted me in my dealings with him. When people say that they do not care what others think of them, for the most part they deceive themselves. Generally they mean only that they will do as they choose, in the confidence that no one will know their vagaries, and at the utmost only that they're willing to act contrary to the opinion of the majority because they are supported by the approval of their neighbours. It is not difficult to be unconventional in the eyes of the world when your unconventionality is but the convention of your set.
It affords you then an inordinate amount of self-esteem. You have the self-satisfaction of courage without the inconvenience of danger. But the desire for approbation is perhaps the most deeply seated instinct of civilized man. No one runs so hurriedly to the cover of respectability as the unconventional woman who's exposed herself to the slings and arrows of outraged propriety. I do not believe the people who tell me that they do not care a row of pins for the opinion of their fellows. It is the bravado of ignorance. They mean only that they do not fear reproaches for peccadilloes which they are convinced none will discover. But here was a man who sincerely did not mind what people thought of him, and so convention had no hold on him. He was like a wrestler whose body is oiled. You could not get a grip on him. It gave him a freedom which was an outrage. I remember saying to him,